You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
I love the Raiders. Most of all, I love to win.
You're now listening to State of the Nation with Jimmy Durkin, Vic Tafer, Ted Nguyen, and Deshaun Reed on the Athletic Podcast Network.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to State of the Nation here on the Athletic Podcast Network. Jimmy Durkin, Vic Tafer, Ted Nguyen, Deshaun Reed, ready to break it down. Post-game edition after the Raiders 31-26 win in Los Angeles over the Chargers. A nail biter and a game that came down to a couple of nice defensive plays from Isaiah Johnson, a guy who had just played 30 defensive snaps before Sunday all season and got called into action when Trayvon Mullen went down with an injury. And he made some nice plays early and they kept testing him. They tested him on those final two plays. And here was a guy that showed he was ready for it.
Yeah, I love the hand movement. He, I got both hands at one point on that last play, and obviously he's a big physical guy. So my first question was, why hasn't he been playing more? I mean, I was impressed. And obviously it's kind of cool that they no right tackle, no left tackle. They lost Trayvon Mullen, lost Alec Ingold, who watched the end of the game in the hospital. So they lost a lot more guys today, and still they came through in the end and won. So it's a big win.
Yeah, I think Johnson showed – you know, obviously some of that size that we've been hearing about, or there's fan bases have been hearing about for the last 2 years, you know, being 6'2". I don't know if there's another corner, maybe, you know, Mullen probably could, but making a play on both of those jump balls, you know, it's pretty tough. And if he's a couple inches shorter, maybe he's not able to make those. And, you know, it's been a weird process for Isaiah Johnson. You know, he had a lot of hype after, you know, going into the season last year, but he got hurt. And this year we figured he would play a little bit more, but he's been kind of missing in action. They randomly threw him at safety in one game, and now he's finally, you know, out of necessity being thrown in at cornerback. And so I would imagine that after this he would be more involved, even once, you know, Mullen and Arnett are back healthy.
Yeah, I think the last time they really tried to use him was against the Chiefs, but they put him against Travis Kelce, who obviously is really hard to guard. And he didn't play too well against Travis Kelce, so, and then he kind of disappeared from the lineup after that. But, I mean, you know, sometimes you need experience, and he just doesn't have that many snaps throughout his career. So this was probably the most he's ever played, and he made some plays like we talked about. And maybe when Mullen does come back and Arnett comes back, maybe they do plug him back into that role as a tight end stopper type of role and see how he does there, because obviously, you know, he made some plays on some jump balls against the Chargers, so it's good for him.
Yeah, you look on that final play, he's going up against Donald Parham, 6'8". The play before, 6'4", Mike Williams. I mean, those are not easy guys, big size. It's not like he knocked the ball away on those passes. Those are plays where it just goes to show that being there in the right position and continuing to play the ball all the way through the catch. I mean, these guys got to come to the ground with the ball. And in both situations, guys had opportunities to bring that ball in. And it was the fact that he just kept at it with the play and really just kind of showed his tenacity.
Plus, we're going to add that on the second to last play, Williams got hurt. He left the game. That's why they brought Parham in. So you wonder if Williams had stayed in, how the rematch would have gone. But, you know, the Raiders got some breaks today, and they had some good pressure, which I think they go hand in hand. So when you apply pressure, good things happen for you.
It wasn't like they just had a crazy game like the Chiefs game, but they had a couple of sacks and I think 7 quarterback hits. And the secondary didn't have a good day. I think Justin Herbert, you know, averaged 7.8 yards per attempt. But you can only imagine that would have been higher if they weren't able to generate pressure, or if the pressure had looked like it had been looking the last couple of weeks. So still probably not where they want it, but it was just good enough to get the win today.
Besides those plays at the end, I mean, the real potential turning point could have been the end of that first half. The Raiders were leading 14-7 with there was a minute 45 to go, and the Chargers were facing 3rd and 16, and the Raiders called a timeout. They've been pretty good at the end of first halves this year, especially when they're getting the ball to start the second half and maybe being able to get a late score. And you know what John Gruden's thinking right there. He, and maybe I can get at least get a field goal, take a 17-7 lead, then get the ball to start the third quarter and really try to put this away. Well, obviously, the Raiders, we know the Raiders' defense is not, you know, they make a few plays here and there. They made some timely plays here, obviously, but they haven't been good. And they give up that 3rd and 16, and, you know, what do you know? Not long after that, Justin Herbert, Keenan Allen, 27-yard touchdown, and we've got a tie ball game. And then I think the biggest surprise becomes after that, you know, 26 seconds left, and the Raiders are going to be aggressive. They're going to actually go for trying to score here before the half ends. Screen pass to Hunter Renfrow, and then on second down, line up, and they run a deep pass. They're going to try to attempt a deep pass to Darren Waller. And you hear Derek Carr talk about it after the game. It was there. It was going to be a 70-yard touchdown. But, of course, we mentioned they played this game without both of their starting offensive tackles, and Carr didn't have enough time to be able to get the pass off, get strip sacked, and they gave away 3 points. And that felt like, you know, to go from 14-7 to, in a flash, down 17-14 at the half, that's how games turn. But the way the Raiders were able to come out at the start of the third quarter and score back-to-back touchdowns and take an 11-point lead, that showed some resiliency. And Derek Carr said he was mad. He was mad about what happened there at the end of the half. And we've seen in the past when Derek Carr plays mad that he can play pretty well.
Yeah, you got to do something like, I remember Big John Henderson used to get slapped in the face before a game. Someone's got to slap Derek Carr around a little bit because he does play well when he's mad, I think. And I think, you know, it shows your resiliency, the whole team, not just Derek Carr, but definitely John Gruden's been stressing how tough they are. And it's been impressive. It's probably the biggest reason why they're 5-3.
You know, I was really surprised looking at Derek Carr's numbers after the game. He threw for less than 200 yards. But he made a lot of impact plays, made a lot of plays out of structure with his legs. You know, was able to buy some time with that big Hunter Renfrow throw on third down. He even had a diving run for a first down a la New Orleans in 2016. So this was a really good game for Derek Carr, especially losing both tackles like that. Yeah, it was an impressive performance.
Yeah, it's kind of opposite of his, you know, how he has those games sometimes where maybe he passes for 300 yards and a couple of touchdowns and it looks good on paper, but he didn't actually play that well. But it's kind of opposite of that. You know, his stats look less than pedestrian, but I thought he played a really good game. And that's what Gruden said afterwards. You know, I wouldn't say it was a game manager type game, but, you know, because he made some explosive plays when they needed to that really, you know, keyed that second half run ahead.
Him and Nelson Agholor. I mean, obviously, this team drafted Henry Ruggs there in the first round to be the deep threat, the guy that stretches the defense. But right now, Derek Carr and Nelson Agholor have a better rapport. Those guys are just on the same page more than Carr is with Henry Ruggs, who didn't have a catch today. To connect with him on that 45-yard touchdown, we're just seeing, obviously, another huge game out of Devontae Booker was their leading rusher today. For all the talk about how the free agents on defense have been disappointing, and, you know, we will note that Carl Nassib had a sack and made a couple plays today, and Nick Kwiatkowski played another really good game today. But Devontae Booker and Nelson Agholor have really been two just, they were under the radar free agent signings at the time, but those guys continue to step up and play really well.
I was going to say that you mentioned Ruggs, and Gruden said, like, you have to get him some more work on the white lines drills. He had another big play today where he wasn't able to get his feet in bounds. So I think they're trying, is there, but there's not like a huge sense of urgency because you mentioned Aguilar's playing so well, and Renfrow is always a threat. I mean, he and Carr have definite chemistry. So, and I think that there's enough guys on offense where you don't need Ruggs to necessarily contribute right now, but you would like him to. You'll definitely want to get it worked out at some point because he has the ability to really make some plays down the field.
One area that Ruggs does struggle in is getting off press coverage. It's not something that he was great at Alabama. I mean, he was able to just beat guys with his athleticism, but, you know, his technique wasn't that great, and, you know, you can see him kind of struggling with it right now in the pros. And, you know, sometimes it takes a while to learn that. I mean, you know, obviously he has game-changing speed and he can make those contested catches. But, you know, a guy like Agholor, who kind of has a similar body type, he can learn a lot from how to get off press from him. But like you said, he doesn't have to make a huge impact right now. It's clear that he does still affect the defense because they know where he is and they you know, try to get a guy over top of him because they know he has dangerous speed. You know, he doesn't have to have a 1,000-yard receiving season for him to make an impact on this team.
Yeah, I was really impressed by the run game. I mean, you know, they averaged 6.2 yards per carry, which is their high for the season, and that comes in a game where they were down 3 starting offensive linemen. And you know, the Chargers aren't the best run defense in the world, but they're about average. I think they came into the game 13th in the league in rush defense. And so for them to have 160 yards and a couple of touchdowns on the ground, I mean, I think that, you know, we talked about Carr, but I think that was the driving force of their offense today. And when they're able to run the ball well, and, you know, that's able to balance out their defensive struggles a little bit when you just limit the opportunities the other team has and kind of grind out those long drives.
We'll be right back after a quick word from our sponsors.
Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.
Ted mentioned the two out-of-structure plays on that was that second drive of that third quarter, where the third down pass to Renfro, where I think everybody watching that sees Carr kind of scrambling around buying time, and we don't have the all-22 when we're watching it on live TV. So for Vic and Tashawn being at the game, you guys, you know, probably saw Renfro break deep. But as you're watching on TV, you're like, run, Carr, run. And you see him load up to throw, and your first reaction is, what the hell is he doing? But obviously that was great job of him just kind of directing traffic and telling Hunter Renfro to go deep and being able to launch it and just really showing a nice aggressive side. And then, of course, the scramble for the first down, where he was going to be maybe a yard or so short, but went airborne to get it. And that's a confident Derek Carr you see out there.
Yeah, he compared that play to Renfro to a play he made to Michael Crabtree at Jacksonville. I'm not sure if that was 2016 or not, but definitely see his old confidence coming back. He's making plays not only in the pocket, but outside the pocket, and he's risking his body, which he didn't do after he got hurt for a while. So definitely he's showing all the signs that his confidence and his courageousness is at, you know, back at all-time highs for him.
Yeah, I think John Gruden might sit him down tomorrow to be like, all right, guy, this is your second week in a row doing some wild stuff running the football, so... Especially with their backup quarterback situation, I think they probably want Derek to start sliding on a couple more of those.
Hey man, they've got a $7.5 million third-string quarterback. They're in good shape.
You brought it up this time. I brought it up two times in a row. I've not brought it up.
I'm saying that as a positive. Yeah, they have that insurance policy. People say it's me.
It's not just me, though. You guys do it too.
Policy back there. Come on.
You guys do it too. It's not just me.
Make that insurance policy. Make those runs instead of Derek Carr. How about that?
That'd be great for him, man. Just run the ball. All right, done. Come on. Good job.
If we look at this game, though, there was one point where it got scary. Obviously, the Chargers score and make it 28-26. Kind of a little bit of an odd decision on the two-point conversion. You know, Justin Herbert got shaken up on the play in which they scored the touchdown, and so he had to come out of the game. Now, the Chargers did have the option. They could have called a timeout for him to be able to stay in. They didn't.
Oh, really?
I
didn't know that.
Yeah. If you call a timeout, that allows you to put the guy back in there.
That's a bad call then by Anthony Lynn. Anthony Lynn had a tough game. I can see why they've blown so many leads the last 4 weeks. He's that clock management at the end was pretty remarkable. Wow, so you could have called timeout and had Herbert back in there?
Could have called timeout and had Herbert back in there. Instead,
they said, hey, Tyrod, just run around for a while until you see something and then try and score. Go ahead.
It almost looked like he was. And then, I mean, we've seen Raider linebacker tackling.
Told you, Vic.
For a lot of years. And most.
There we go. All right.
I mean, Vic is right. He did run right into him.
I mean, it wasn't the hardest.
Like, oh, no, Ted tweeted, oh, what a great play by Kwiatkowski.
See how far he
ran right into him.
See how far he ran into his arms.
We grade on a curve here. I don't know how many Raider linebackers over the past 10 years actually make that tackle.
You got to take a good angle to make it look easy, you know?
To make a guy run right into you.
Bojay Filamahatu makes that tackle.
Linebackers coach at Utah State now. But anyways.
He is? Oh, wow.
He was at San Jose State, and then he went back to Utah State as alma mater.
Good for Bojay.
We are on a Bojay tangent here, and that's random. So then after that touchdown, the Raiders go 3-and-out. And I think that looked like, well, kind of went 3-and-out. That looked like it could have been a really deflating moment. The muffed punt, Kyle Wilbur, the special teams captain, comes up with that. And that's another kind of thing that is a little bit of a sign of this kind of pointing back to some of that 2016 magic. Is it takes luck in some instances to win games. And you get a muffed punt there that you're able to recover after you go on a potentially deflating 3-and-out. That was just a huge break for them.
Yeah, I mean, I think when you're on the road and you're missing your two tackles, you need some breaks, and and they got it. And you could also argue that that fumble towards the end of the first half should have never happened. That was a really questionable decision for that to happen.
Both Carr and Gruden swear that Waller was running wide open down the field. I haven't seen the tape yet, but they say he was wide open for a 70-yard touchdown pass if Carr has two more seconds.
Two more seconds? That's a long time.
All right, 1.2 more seconds.
Another half a second, maybe.
Half a second.
I think maybe both coaches were just kind of trying to see who could manage the game a little bit worse. I mean, that was not the smoothest end of half decision-making from Gruden, obviously, but they get a win, and that's really, at the end of the day, all that matters. And, I mean, you know, this was part of the talk after the game, is the way they went and won in Cleveland last week in the rain and sleet and all that, and the way they kind of overcame obstacles here. I mean, you know, Vic, you particular have been hard on them at times when they make excuses for a lot of stuff, and this was a game where they could have made excuses, and they didn't.
Oh, definitely. You give them full credit, full kudos. And they're 5-3 without Trent Brown, Richie Incognito most of the year. Damon Arnett, the first-round pick, hasn't played in 5 weeks, I want to say. Other injuries besides that. So definitely they've shown some good resolve, a good depth. I mean, I didn't think the depth was that great going into the year, but obviously it's better than I thought it was, and the coaches have done a nice job. So, I mean, Brandon Parker got a game ball today along with Isaiah Johnson, and Brandon Parker has really stepped up the last 2 weeks. So, I mean, the guy I thought was kind of, to be honest, kind of dead weight in the roster. He's definitely proved me wrong.
I thought Sam Young really struggled in this game, and you know, Parker wasn't perfect, but he's a right tackle, switch over to left, and wasn't a wreck. So, yeah.
Come on, he was better than that. Wasn't a wreck.
He was solid.
Come on, man.
What did you guys think of watching Justin Herbert live for the first time? I mean, obviously this guy is going to be somebody the Raiders going to see for a long time. And, you know, despite not having a good offensive line at all, he's pretty special.
I thought it was all right. Deshaun, what'd you think?
Yeah, he's pretty good. Like, you can see the potential. Like, he definitely... Like, just looking at the numbers, I think you might get caught. When you watch him in person, like, you can definitely tell he's still a rookie. Like, even with the clock management, like, I know we put that on Lynn, but it's like he's just kind of standing around, no sense of urgency, just, you know, kind of like a, you know, just looking like a rookie. You know, he like, doesn't know what to do at all times. And he didn't make many mistakes today. I don't think he threw any questionable passes or near interceptions. But, you know, he obviously has a bright future ahead, but. You know, I think we've seen some talk about him being like an upper echelon QB already. I don't know about all that yet, but, you know, he looks pretty good.
I will say the last two passes were definitely good passes. I mean, definitely threw potential game-winning passes. I mean, I think Williams probably should have had the first one, but second one, Johnson made a great play on. But those balls were in a good spot, and that's where you want those balls for those last two plays.
I watched a lot of Herbert this year. He's actually on pace to break the rookie touchdown pass record. So I've been really impressed with Herbert, and this game was probably not his best game, but even then, he still put up pretty impressive production. You know, if Herbert does keep developing, I mean, we've seen quarterbacks start hot before and kind of fizzle out, but if he develops, then you got Patrick Mahomes and you got, you know, Justin Herbert in the division. It just makes it tough that the Raiders have to face, you know, these guys four times a year.
Hey, man, don't forget about Drew Lock, man. Come on now. He almost came back on the Falcons today.
I'm not buying Lock stock. Week. I'm not buying Lock stock.
I love that we have a Drew Lock fan in the Raiders beat crew. That's true. Raiders fans are going crazy right now. I love it.
Before we get out of it, you know, one of my favorite moments of the postgame was, you know, Isaiah Johnson's postgame Zoom. He gets up there and, you know, he's like, I've never done this before. Like, he didn't really know what he was doing as he's sitting down, but it was kind of fun to just see him kind of enjoy that moment and be really fired up. Obviously, he talked about the week he had that Derek Carr had referenced earlier, where one of his close friends, called him a younger brother type, had passed away during the week, and then has this game. And I love when he was talking about why he was celebrating even before everybody else, because like I saw the play, I knew what happened. Like, they're celebrating, I know we won, and I'm gonna enjoy that. So I thought that was pretty cool, just hearing from him after the game, because you just kind of could see just a guy that's really getting to enjoy his first like big NFL moment.
Yeah, he's a really fun guy. I remember talking to him last year when he broke his face in a preseason game. I mean, he's still in really good spirits about it and told me all about it in detail, and just a really fun guy, just very young, obviously very excited about where he is and what's to come. But definitely it's a great game for him. Definitely, I guess, what we all said, hopefully it's where he can build off this and play more and make more plays.
All right. Well, the Raiders are heading back to Las Vegas. They will be taking on the Denver Broncos next week. Big week for Devontae Booker, the former Bronco.
Yeah, we called it. We called it here.
Who called what? You called Devontae Booker having a big game?
I thought we all did, but all right. If you don't want the credit, Vic, you know, it's all
we did? Good. Yeah. We all called it. We all called Booker.
I think we talked about like getting right. more guys involved that they would.
Oh, yeah. We called
him.
We called
Devontae
Booker.
Ease the load off of Jacobs after the 31 carries.
My bad.
I remember I called, you know, that they should try hand the ball off to Henry Ruggs at least a little bit, and he had one carry. Go. So I got excited when I saw that. But Ted, you changed your prediction from the podcast. You had a Raiders win.
Did
by the time we went to print, you changed it to a Raiders loss
because of Colton Miller news. I thought Colton Miller was in play.
So Colton Miller cost him like 14 points. You took like two touchdowns off the board just because of Colton Miller.
Well, I mean, it was going from Colton Miller to Brandon Parker at left tackle. That's a big drop off. But he played well. He played well.
He wasn't a wreck.
Good scooter.
Obviously, the news that kind of came out Sunday morning on Trent Brown looks like they're not going to have him for a while. Complications from the COVID-19, and that's obviously going to be a blow. But they've gotten to this point so far mostly without him. I mean, he really only played one game, so they have kind of proven they have the depth. And we'll see if Colton Miller comes back. What they do at right tackle, whether that's Brandon Parker or whether that's Sam Young, who was what was he? Ted, he was. What was your term?
My short-term memory is bad, but he was not good.
He was not good. Just breaking.
And then obviously we'll have to monitor throughout the week with Alec Ingold. As Vic mentioned, he watched the end of the game from the hospital after injuring his ribs. So the Raiders may need to sign a fullback.
They're out there, though. A lot of fullbacks are available. Not that many are being used in the NFL. So if you're a fullback, send your resume to... Las Vegas.
It does seem a little unusual that since they are a team that relies so much on one, that they don't have one on the expanded practice squad.
That's a good point, because you got 16 guys in the practice squad, do you think?
Can they get Rod Smith back? I don't know. Where is he at?
He kind of went back and forth between tailback and fullback. But
if you sign a guy, you got to wait. How long do you have to wait?
Yeah, you can't get one for
5 days, right? I think it's 5 days.
Yeah, so they got to get on it tomorrow.
And he can't practice, so it's going to be – it'll be – Yeah, they might not have a fullback next week. Maybe they use Foster Moreau at fullback or something.
Yeah, they probably have to do some kind of H-back thing. Oh, well. They got Drew Lock, so we'll see what they can do against Deshaun's guy. All right, I think that'll wrap up our post-game edition of State of the Nation. Your Raiders are 5-3 after taking down the Los Angeles Chargers, and they're one win away from clinching a playoff spot, according to our formula that we came up with thanks to a question from somebody a few weeks ago. So one win away from a playoff spot, guys.
Guaranteed.
100%. Put your money on it, but don't blame us.
All right, we'll talk to you later in the week as Deshaun tells you everything you need to know about Drew Lock, and the Raiders get set to take on the Denver Broncos next Sunday in Vegas.
All right, y'all. Peace.
Later.
Adios.